Whether you drive a car,
need a car,
or just occasionally bum a ride with friends,
you've come to the right place.
Join Jill and Tom as they break down everything that's going on in the auto world.
New car reviews,
shopping tips,
driving green,
electric cars,
classic cars,
and plenty of great guests.
This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, this is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. I am Tom Appel. Thanks for joining us today. When you get a chance, do me a favor, check us out at consumerguide.com. While you're there, and we're going to talk about these today, check out our 2024 Consumer Guide Best Buy Picks. More on that in a moment. Well, okay, with me today is Jill Simonillo. She is Managing Editor of Pickup Truck Plus SUV Talk.
You got that right this week.
A North American Car of the Year juror and a freelancer.
Yes.
Is that all the stuff?
Women's Worldwide Car of the Year juror.
You got to pick like three things, like a good resume.
There's so many things. TikTok creator,
like
podcast host.
When I introduce myself, I never mention that I'm a killer Scrabble player.
YouTube
killer.
Personality.
Deadly.
But do you only use car words?
No.
Yeah, see?
I use lots of words.
Yeah, that's why you can't mention it.
We didn't talk about the donuts in advance. You have cherry or blueberry to pick from.
Cherry?
Yeah.
Cherry cake?
It seems early for that.
Okay, so I have to tell you, my favoriteest thing growing up, on Sundays after going to church, my dad would take us to Dunkin' Donuts and we would get cherry cake donuts.
I didn't know Dunkin' Donuts had the cherry.
Like many, many moons ago.
The Dunkin' Donuts thing is they always have that maple donut that isn't actually that good but smells great.
Mm.
And then at Spunky Dunkers, they have the blueberry donut, which smells great and is also good. Oh, also next week.
Yes.
We have no time to spare, but I need to cover this now. You're going to Zoom in, is that correct?
I'm Zooming.
Bad news for you.
Okay.
Our good friends at Mork's Chocolate, and I'm now going to address them as good friends.
Okay.
Are providing us with seasonal punchki, the delightful Polish donuts. I don't know if they're as big nationally, but in Chicago, where we have a huge Polish population, Punchki Day is a big deal.
Yeah, it is. And that
is that Fat Tuesday? Is that the same thing?
Well, so Monday is when we do the show, then Tuesday, and then you have Ash Wednesday. So yeah. We're starting to head into the Lenten season.
Well, if you can figure out how to get here, you get free Punchki.
I cannot get here from Austin, Texas.
You could.
I'm going to say no. I don't think that's going to happen.
All right. I think that's enough of the prelim.
Okay.
We have a lot of stuff due today.
We do. We are talking about Best Buys.
Yeah. Consumer Guide has been doing Best Buys since 1970.
That's older than I've been alive.
And I forgot to bring the list of Best Buys from 1970, but there's like six.
But now you have a lot of them.
Because the only car they used to call big car standards, because the most popular car was a large sedan or large coupe. That was it. That defined the market.
Yeah.
And the Dodge Polara was one of our Best Buys for 1970.
I don't think I've ever heard of that.
It was a big car. The name was around for a number of years.
Okay.
Yeah, Plymouth Fury.
I've heard of that.
Chevy Impala.
I've heard of that.
Oldsmobile 88.
Don't think I've heard of that.
And then Chrysler Newport. Though Chrysler Newport might have been upmarket of that.
Hmm.
So anyway.
Okay.
That was that. In those days, we didn't have a lot of segments because there just wasn't a lot of segments. There were cars.
Right.
And there were big cars, and there were medium standards, which were midsize, and then everything else was a compact. And if you were one of those weirdos that bought something from overseas, that was just an import. And we didn't take those very seriously in those days.
Well, you know.
Imports. Yeah.
Yeah.
Datsun, whatever.
I think my brother-in-law has
whatever came with Datsun.
Yeah. Nissan.
But whatever came with Toyota. Yeah.
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 They're still here.
Yes. Well, I think they're officially the world's largest car maker now.
Probably. And they make a lot of cars in the United States.
Yes, and we've talked about this before, but just a key point. The U.S., I believe, is a net exporter of cars. I think we produce slightly more cars than we purchase here in the U.S.
Okay.
So that whole import thing about buying an import, not making the economic impact you think it is.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I mean, small digression, because I know we got stuff to do, but I would point anybody to cars.com's American Made Index.
Yeah.
Because that list fascinates me every year. The American cars you think are the most American are usually
they're
at the bottom
Hondas.
Of the list. Yeah, they're all Hondas. And because it goes on American parts, American labor, American, you know, assembly. I don't know. It's fascinating.
Yeah. There is a conversation to have. It's probably too deep, and I don't think we'll do it on the podcast. But I'm very interested in what's happening with the dollar being super strong relative to the yen. Like, is this a great time for Toyota to take money out of the U.S. and bring it home? I think it is. But that's really geeky stuff.
So well, you are kind of a geek.
Yeah. So we should talk Best Buys.
Yes.
For 2024.
Yes.
Consumer Guide has broken down the entire market into 17 segments. We're down one segment from last year because there's really no such thing as mainstream large cars anymore. So we've gone full circle. When the Dodge Polara ruled the earth to now when there's really no domestic large cars or any large cars.
There's premium. Yeah, because like Chrysler 300 went away. All of the Ford
Dodge Charger went away.
Sedans gone.
There's no Taurus.
So Crown doesn't count?
I would put Crown there if it wasn't the only vehicle that was going there.
Is Maxima still existing?
Yeah, but it's really no bigger than an Altima. It's slightly premium.
Okay.
But let's talk some cars.
Okay, yes, sorry.
So 17 segments. We tried very hard to break the market down into these very efficient segments where cars can be easily compared and cross-shopped, and that's what we've done. And we're going to start with the crossovers. Are you ready?
Yes.
Subcompact crossovers.
Okay.
This is a great segment because there's a lot of really good stuff here.
Mm-hmm.
So you know what? I'm going to go back for one moment. We picked 41 cars this year.
Okay.
Out of about 330, 340, depending on how you count models.
Mm-hmm.
So we're picking about 15% of the market.
Okay.
10% of the market, something like that.
And about how many per segment?
Three or four, usually. Okay. But there's some segments with one.
Oh?
So there you go.
Like the Toyota Crown?
No. We'll get to that.
Okay.
But in the subcompact segments, our pick four 2024 are the Nissan Kicks, the Hyundai Venue, the Kia Soul, and the redesigned. I didn't realize it was completely redesigned. It's so subtle. Subaru Crosstrek.
Yep.
Completely redesigned.
Yep.
And yet it feels like the old vehicle.
Yep.
So in this class, Kicks is an extraordinarily good deal.
You know what? I have to say, like looking at those three vehicles, the Nissan Kicks is a surprisingly great car. Like I went into it, it's really funny because I went into driving that car. I was at the launch program for it, and I literally was on the ground for like 24 hours. To drive that car. And I went into it thinking, they must not like this car very much because they're only giving us half an hour to drive it. But it was like surprisingly awesome.
There's no money in this segment anymore.
True.
And hopefully there's more money now because people keep leaving it, right? Kia and the Rio are gone and the Hyundai was a little tiny Hyundai.
Accent.
Those vehicles are gone. So that's a little more volume for these other vehicles. But the Nissan Kicks, only problem with it, only front wheel drive.
Yep.
A little bit loud.
Yep.
And no all-wheel drive. Did I just say that?
You did.
Yeah.
Because it's only front-wheel drive. Well, Venue is only front-wheel drive as well.
Right.
And
very
then,
similar situation because a heck of a good price.
I think Soul is also... Soul doesn't have all-wheel drive.
It does not.
So the only one in the segment that has all-wheel drive is the Crosstrek, which is standard with all-wheel
which
drive.
Which is kind of why I pulled the Crosstrek here.
Yeah.
If you're looking for all-wheel drive, this is the way you got to go. And you're going to pay a little bit more for it. But it's a more substantial vehicle. And none of these have a whole lot of power.
Right. So would you put the Hyundai Kona in a different segment then?
I'm waiting to drive the Kona.
Okay.
So no, actually maybe a size up, but the Kona, I've always traditionally loved the Kona.
Okay. Because
and
I know
we've been very high on it in Consumer Guide.
I know that, the folks at Hyundai have been doing a hard press to compare it to the Crosstrek. So that's why I was just like, no Kona? But you haven't driven it yet.
Yeah, okay. Could show up next year.
Okay.
All right. Premium subcompact crossovers.
Okay.
All right. Interesting choice here. First, BMW X1.
Hmm.
It's the only BMW on the list, and it is the entry point for BMW, too. If you're trying to get into a BMW, into a premium German car, this starts around 40 grand.
Okay.
And for that 40 grand, which is a lot of money, but this is the premium segment.
Right.
You get a heck of a nice interior, great ride and handling. Good power from a 2-liter turbocharged engine. There's not a lot here not to like. The only problem with this car is if you start ticking off options, it's going to be
pricey quickly.
You're going over 50 in a hurry.
Yeah. I have to say that one of my biggest problems with BMW and Audi and Mercedes in general, the German automakers, is everything's an option. So it looks like a really good deal that you can get into it for $40,000. But if you want things like heated seats or adaptive cruise control.
Stuff like that. That's ridiculous. Yeah. And they're in really weird things called like Driver Comfort Assist 3.
Yeah.
Like some package that there's absolutely no pattern to how they name their packages.
No, but it's all an option. And I'm like, if a like $20,000 Toyota Corolla can get all of that stuff standard, why doesn't a BMW?
No, and that's a problem with all German cars.
Yeah.
Maybe less so with Audi, but it's a big problem with Mercedes and BMW.
Yeah.
My other pick, our other pick in this class is a Mercedes-Benz EQB.
Okay.
That is the electric version of the GLB. And the GLB, interesting car, not a great car. Problem is that it's based on a front-wheel drive architecture.
Mm-hmm.
That four-cylinder is not especially smooth, and the transmission is not very friendly. So we're driving around town. It's you want more from a luxury car than what that delivers. But dang, you make that vehicle electric, and the bad stuff all goes away, and what you have is a very space-efficient electric vehicle. Probably a perfect second vehicle for a lot of families.
Okay. Yeah, I don't think I've ever driven the EQB, but I've been fairly impressed. Like, I had the EQS for a little bit and was very impressed with that. So I imagine that in a more compact package would be nice.
Yeah, Mercedes does electric right. They're just expensive.
Yeah.
And this one's a little expensive, too. Starts around $56,000. Range is not great. 220 to 250 miles. But if you... If it's your second car. Yeah, that's the way to go.
Yeah. You know, and I've started telling, because I've been getting a lot of pushback on social media from people, oh, I could never own an electric car because of some of the experiences we've had with electric charging. And I'm like, think of it as your second car. You're right. If it's your only car, probably not so much. But second car?
Yeah. If you live in the city, live in an apartment where you can't charge at home, don't do it.
Don't. Please don't.
Unless you really want to.
No,
if you know if you know what you're getting into.
Don't do it.
And you're crazy. And because remember, too, like the Mini Cooper, what is it called? The S.
Yeah.
But that's only got about 130 miles of range, something like that.
Yeah.
You'd have to want to do that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it was the same with that Mazda MX-30.
Yeah.
And 100 miles of range.
CX-30.
MX. No, they have the CX-30, which is gas.
You're right.
But the
it's
MX. Is the...
Wow, I got it right, and then I made myself get it wrong.
Yeah.
But that's already temporarily gone.
Yeah. Luckily, I'm here to correct you.
Yeah, the rotary-powered rage extender may come to the U.S.
Maybe.
Because Mazda has to do rotary.
Well, duh.
We should talk about rotary at some point.
Yes.
It's silly. it's folly. All right, compact crossovers. We have the Hyundai Ioniq 5. The Kia EV6, the Nissan Rogue, and the Nissan Ariya. So a lot of electric options here.
Yeah.
If you can do the second car thing. So the Ioniq 5, a delight to drive.
It is.
Available inexpensively at the bottom end of the segment. Mm-hmm. If you go dual motor in a lot of options, it gets expensive in a hurry.
Yeah.
And that's the same thing with the EV6.
Yeah.
Exactly the same thing. But those are, if you were looking for a painless way to go electric.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not talking about the charging experience or paying for the car. But I mean the actual experience of getting behind the wheel.
Yeah.
Those cars really ask very little of you to be electric.
Right.
They're just the nice interior. And they make such good use of the flat floor.
They
like,
do.
It's roomy. It's
well, you
airy.
Know what I like about the Ioniq 5 is the sliding center console area.
Mm-hmm.
That you can move it forward and have like... a place to put your arm, move it backwards, place to put stuff on the floor. I thought they did that really well. And I mean, Kia and Hyundai, even though they, you know, there's like a wall between them, but they're kind of related. I was kind of disappointed that I didn't see that in the EV6.
Hmm. We've also got the Nissan Ariya on the list, and we're finally seeing that vehicle. It seems like we've been talking about that vehicle for 5 years.
Like 20 years, but yeah.
And it never showed up. And then it seemed like they were dragging their feet for all the right reasons.
Yeah.
Like, maybe this boom isn't going to happen.
Right.
And it's sort of not happening. But the Ariya is really good.
You know, I have to say, of the vehicles that I've driven in the last couple of years, the electric vehicles, the Ariya is one of my favorite. And it was one of the only... maybe the only SUV, electric SUV, that I was able to drive down to Indianapolis without having to stop to charge.
Good range.
Yeah.
Feels like a Nissan inside, like we just discussed. Mm-hmm. Doesn't ask a lot of the driver in terms of going electric. But also we had on the list, and this is important, and the only gas-powered vehicle on this list, there's a lot of good compact crossovers, but the Nissan Rogue is so good.
You know, I really like it. And a lot of people talk about the CVT.
It's fixed. I think the problem's cured.
The problem is done. So, I mean, back, if you look at a 2013 or 2014 Nissan with a CVT, that's where your problems are. You know, now in 2024, like, the problem is gone. It's a good, it's a good transition.
If you're looking at CVTs now at Nissan, Honda, Subaru, or Toyota,
yeah,
don't worry about them.
No.
They're really good.
Yeah.
But Toyota's especially good because they do that stepped first gear,
yeah,
where it's a real gear, so you don't get the rubber bandy slide thing. But
yeah,
the other thing about these, if you're a first-time buyer or a second-time buyer and you've never driven a good new car, you're not going to know that it's different.
Exactly.
Part of the problem with CVTs is that if you're an older driver, if you're me,
yeah,
I've been driving conventional stepped automatics forever.
Yeah.
Getting into a CVT, it's like, eh, this. But that's increasingly not even the case for me.
Yeah.
It's just that the transition is difficult, I think, for some drivers.
I would agree. And I mean, I'm a manual transmission driver, so that's double hard.
Yeah. I mean, the CVT experience is a little weird, but it works very well in the Rogue, for example.
Yeah.
And people forget that every Honda is now basically a CVT, all the small Hondas.
Yeah. And I can't remember which automaker did it, but tell me if you remember this commercial. They were advertising a CVT, and the guy was driving, and he floors it, and his girlfriend in the seat next to him is putting on her lipstick, and when he floors it, she doesn't smear her lipstick.
I don't remember.
And that
this.
So if anybody out there remembers that commercial, I'm pretty sure it was an advertisement for a CVT, and it was like talking about how you could put on your lipstick under hard acceleration, and it wouldn't, like, you know, you wouldn't be jerking and messing up your lipstick.
There were terrible CVTs that did the technology wrong. The Dodge Caliber.
Oh.
Which was a terrible car. All right, let's move on to premium compact crossovers.
Okay.
So let me know what you think of these. We've got the Acura RDX, the Genesis GV60, and the Genesis GV70. One electric in the middle there.
And two Genesis.
Uh-huh.
Genesis.
That's a brand that's hit on all cylinders. The Genesis brand, there's no bad product there.
There is not. I have not driven a single vehicle from them I don't like. I haven't spent significant amount of time with the GV60, but the little
a delight
orb that like flips. I feel like I did a TikTok where I literally like just turned the vehicle on and then off and then on and then off and then on and then off and then on and because I was so mystified by this flipping orb that shows the gear shift.
To me, it looks like a dentist's spittoon.
I don't know what that is.
It goes back to the old days of visiting the dentist.
Okay.
Just white ceramic.
The interior or the orb?
No, specifically the orb.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't.
Mm. Don't worry about it.
All right.
But the Genesis GV60 is electric only.
Yes.
It's a small crossover. It's a light delight to drive. And again, if you have the money, that's a great second or third car, boy. What a fun car.
Well, you know,
range is limited.
Yeah, the range is limited, but it's got a lot of cool technology. It is an attractive, unique design. I think it looks a little bit more different from some of the other Genesis vehicles.
Range is not that limited. 290 miles.
Okay.
So solid.
That, you know, especially in nice weather, that could be a good road trip car.
So we have the Acura RDX on the list, and we have that primarily because the Japanese premium crossovers are cheaper than the German ones.
Okay.
And they're very good. And as we noted, there aren't a lot of options to tick. In fact, if you're buying a Honda or an Acura product, usually there aren't options.
Yeah.
Apart from maybe an extra cost color or wheels and tires.
Okay. So how do you feel about the true touchpad on the RDX?
The way I feel about that now, it's terrible. The touchpad, which is in the center console, and it's not good. It's not a good thing for drivers to have to interact with.
No.
But they are now touchscreen as well.
Yeah.
So you can kind of ignore that.
Yeah.
Additionally, if you're driving along and want to do something and you know how to use it, it's kind of a nice thing. You don't have to lift your hand all the way up and lean forward to the touchscreen.
Right.
You can do some stuff via the touchpad. But the touchpad was a mistake.
Yeah. Well, my sister and brother-in-law just bought a new RDX, and I actually tried to talk them out of it because of the touchpad.
Wow.
Yeah.
You feel strongly about that.
I feel very, very strongly about it. And you know, we are, what, 3-4 segments in, and there's not a single American car on here yet, or quote-unquote American car.
Interesting American car coming up. And also, we have the GV70. That is Lexus's small gasoline-powered crossover.
One of my favorites.
What a great car. One of the best cars I drove in 2023.
I will tell you, whenever somebody tells me they're looking at it, and that was the vehicle I actually tried to get my sister and brother-in-law to buy, was the GV70. Whenever anybody is looking at a small SUV, that is the one that I've started pointing people to. And I can't say enough good things about it.
No. And the base four-cylinder is just fine.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to go with the V6. There's plenty of power with the base four-cylinder if you want to keep this relatively affordable.
Yeah.
And like I've said before, Genesis products are no longer bargains.
No.
But they are still strong values.
Well, they're strong values because they don't nickel and dime you. They don't make everything an option. So when you look at the price, it's kind of a WYSIWYG.
I'm gonna say something about that price, though. Cardiff green.
Okay.
That's that fabulous green color.
Okay.
It's $650, which seems like a lot for a color. Totally do it. It's like the nicest color I've seen on a car in a long time.
Okay.
Absolutely. Now, I don't know. Here's a good thing about extra cost colors. Not a good thing, an interesting thing. I have no idea what the resale value of Cardiff green is going to be in 5 years.
Yeah. You know, I did an article once about custom colors or the unique like halo colors. And very specifically, I went to, and I can't even remember the name of the color, but the GV60, that neon green color that they have for it, or yellow or whatever it is. They were saying that colors like that do not resell well.
Generally not, unless it's a sporty car and people want it.
But if you have a Corvette with a very unique color, people will totally buy that. But like an SUV with a unique color, but I think the Cardiff green isn't crazy enough that would.
It's really easy on the eyes.
Ding the resale.
It may not. People may remember the Volkswagen Corrado. It was a replacement for the Scirocco. It was a 90s phenomenon. Delightful vehicle to drive.
I'm over here shaking my head no.
But it was a vehicle available with Volkswagen's famous 2.8-liter VR6 engine.
Okay.
The narrow V. It was a joy to drive. But that car was available in yellow. And I believe now people looking for Corrados are looking for the yellow cars.
Okay.
So sometimes it works. All right. Mid-size crossovers. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. The Hyundai Palisade, the Kia Telluride, Toyota Highlander.
Okay.
I don't think there's any surprises there.
No. 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 Again, still no American cars on here.
Not yet. No. The Hyundai Palisade and Kia Telluride are based on the same architecture.
Mm-hmm.
Hyundai and Kia don't play nice in the U.S. They're definitely competitors.
They literally have a wall.
But same engine, same transmission, same architecture.
Yep.
But very different pricing structure, very different interior design, very different exterior design.
And some different technologies.
Different technology and different ride and handling tuning.
Yeah.
So they are different vehicles. So if you're looking at one, test drive the other.
Yes.
And for whatever reason, journalists who are thinking about a car or recommending them tend to prefer the Kia.
Yeah, I'm the odd man out. I always prefer the Palisade.
Do you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, it's a little more luxury.
Interesting.
And it has a few more up-level features. I want to say the Palisade has power-folding third-row seats where the Telluride does not.
Okay.
That I appreciate.
Here's a problem with the Kia.
Okay.
The dumbest lineup of trim names I've ever heard.
Okay.
No one could possibly guess what's above what. It's SX, EXX line, SXX line, SX Pro, SX Prestige, SX Prestige X line, and then SX Prestige X Pro. I just read it and I completely forgot it.
Yeah, I'm hearing a lot of SEX in there is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, so talk to your salesman.
Yeah.
Your salesman can help you find the right car. The new Highlander is very good.
Yes.
I have a problem with the Highlander, and we all know what it is.
Okay.
The V6 is gone.
Yeah.
One of the nicest V6s the industry ever built is gone.
Yeah.
Which is a shame. And I didn't get a chance in time for this list. We didn't get one at Consumer Guide to drive the Grand Highlander.
Okay.
But I have driven it since. Nice vehicle.
Yeah. I have the Grand Highlander coming up in a couple weeks. I did drive it at the press preview.
Yeah.
And I think I wrote the article for you. For
yes, I have that. Yep.
But I just drove the TX, and it's built on the same platform
as the
Grand
Highlander. Which is the Acura version of that. Yeah.
The Acura version?
I'm sorry, Lexus. That's actually how old am I? I remember when, if you're old enough to have been around when Acura and Lexus kind of sprung out of nowhere.
Right.
You always associate them with each other.
Okay, but Grand Highlander would have qualified not in this segment on this list. It would have been a size up, wouldn't it?
No, You want to put the full size, but not really.
Because I feel like Lexus is calling TX full size.
The reason we don't do that is primarily because we reserve that for the body on frame SUVs.
Okay.
Expedition, Tahoe, something like that.
GX.
Yeah, and we actually call them SUVs, not crossovers,
okay.
Which is pretty antiquated thinking, I realize, but there you have it.
Okay.
All right, we should take a break.
Okay.
When we come back, more Best Buys.
More Best Buys.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. I'm Tom Appel. She's Jill Simonillo, and we're going down the 2024 list of Consumer Guide Best Buys, and we are up to premium midsize crossovers.
Premium midsize crossovers.
Yeah.
Premium.
More money. Same size, more money.
Got it. More money.
But some people like that stuff. On the list, we have the Acura MDX.
Okay.
And you've been wanting an American car. I want to talk about this one, the Buick Enclave.
Okay.
The Infiniti QX60 and the Lexus RX.
Okay. Those are interesting choices, and I would agree with three out of four of them.
Which don't you agree with?
I'm trying to pick my words nicely here. Do not like.
All right.
I'll say do not like.
You're allowed.
Because I was going to say something else.
All right.
I do not like the Infiniti vehicles.
Okay.
Full stop.
The Infiniti QX60 redesigned.
Yeah.
As was the Pathfinder it's based on.
Yep.
And hilariously, at the event that I first drove the QX60,
mm-hmm.
I mentioned the Pathfinder,
mm-hmm.
and it was pointed out to me.
Okay.
I was missing a very big difference between the vehicles.
The names?
No, that the third row is only two passenger in the QX, where it's three passenger in the Pathfinder. Like, I don't want to know the three people you would do that cruel thing to, so it doesn't matter to me much.
They would be three me people sized.
Yeah, I don't care how many belt buckles are in the third row.
No.
But I like the QX a lot. I like the Pathfinder a lot, and I like the QX a lot just because it hits at a pretty interesting price point to start with. It feels solid. It feels rear drive to me, even though it's a front drive architecture. But I'm liking the price points, and I'm liking the V6 powertrain.
So I will say I like how Infiniti drives, but they did two very bad things with that vehicle.
Uh-huh.
The third row, even though it only has two people in there, the headrests are egregious. They are they like point forward. And so if you put, like, I'm 5 feet tall, you put me back there, and it literally tilts my head down because the
Can you pull them out?
Nope. Well, you might be able to pull them out, but like then that kind of defeats the purpose of having a headrest. So that was thing number one. Thing number two is somebody who is a petite driver, a.k.a. fifth percentile female, which is the lowest common denominator that automakers designed for, cannot drive that car comfortably. I hit my knee on the underbelly of the dash.
Oh.
It is a miserable experience.
If you're not Jill, I recommend this car.
Okay. So, yeah, but I agree with the other three. The MDX is, you know, fun, sporty, great,
it's always sporty.
Attractive.
Acura is always a sporty, kind of the default sporty vehicle in the class.
The RX, completely redesigned for 2023. New technology, cool stuff.
And default, not sporty.
Okay.
One of the funniest things about Lexus is when they went to that spindle grill, they started to go with fairly extreme styling.
Right.
And it aged well.
Yeah.
Right. I think where Lexus is design-wise is a good place, and people recognize it, and that's good. But Lexus has always looked sportier than they are. Like, the RX is not sporty.
No.
It is very refined. It's great on the highway. It's quiet. There's a lot going on there. Again, I miss the V6. But what are you going to do?
Yeah.
The Buick Enclave.
That is the only Buick I truly like.
It is no fun to drive,
mm-hmm.
and it is not sporty. But it is exactly what I think a Buick should be, especially in this class. It is so quiet, so refined. The ride is so good.
Mm-hmm.
The pricing is really interesting because it is really sub-premium pricing. It's really in a weird mid-ground. A lot here to like. Redesigned next year.
Yep.
So we'll see what happens with that. The V6 is going away because every nice V6 is going away because God hates me.
Wow.
But we'll see what that new 2.4 turbo is like. That's the replacement engine.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Large SUV. Large SUVs, you know this probably better than I do. All the GMs are getting redesigned soon, freshened soon.
Yep.
So this was going to be a very short model year for them. So we did not include them in the voting.
Okay.
But the Ford Expedition?
Yes.
Great pick.
Okay.
The 3.5 liter EcoBoost engine mm-hmm. is a really good premium drivetrain.
Yeah.
It's strong, but it's smooth. Also, there's something interesting about the way Fords handle. And I don't know exactly what it is, but they feel firm when you get going. And then after you drive them for a while, you're like, yeah, this is good. This is a sophisticated, nice ride, and it's quiet. You're not picking up any noise from the road. Also, it's gigantic, so you can put everything in there you want.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing that I would say about the Expedition, again, coming from the petite female angle, it has a really high belt line, and it drives a little boat-like to me. So visibility isn't as good as I would get in, say, the Ford F-150. And it drives big.
Yeah, and it is. It's
it
huge.
Is. But, it but is the huge. F-150, I feel like that drives smaller than the Expedition, oddly.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can accept that. Okay. Premium large SUV. Now, we just talked about this. We don't call it crossover. We call it SUV.
Okay.
These are big body-on-frame, capable towing vehicles like the large SUVs. We have basically both choices, the Cadillac Escalade and the Lincoln Navigator. Choosing between the two is tough.
It is.
And they do different things. The Navigator is definitely understated and perhaps just a little bit more refined. The Cadillac is going for a little bit of burble from that big 6.2-liter V8.
Right.
And you get a little bit of that exhaust noise. But after that, it is extremely quiet. It is great on the highway. In terms of cramming people into the interior, both come in short wheelbase and long wheelbase. Mm-hmm. They work very well. Both are profoundly expensive.
Yes. Yeah.
And what are you going to do? That's what they cost.
Well, I feel like I had a Lincoln Navigator recently, and it was like $110,000.
Yeah.
But one of the things that I love about Lincoln versus Cadillac is the sense of peace and calm that you get when you sit in the cabin. Like, you get in and you shut the door.
Of the Lincoln. Yeah.
Did I say Cadillac?
No. I didn't know if I heard you. And you're right. And that's what Lincoln is shooting for.
Oh, yeah. And you get in and you shut the door and it's like, thwap. And it's just like you're entombed. I don't know if that's the right way to say it, but you just feel like pleasantly hugged.
Yeah. The character of the two vehicles is profoundly different.
Yeah.
So if you're driving one, drive the other.
Yeah.
Also, you might want to look at the Wagoneer and Grand Wagoneer from Jeep. My problem with those vehicles is that their positioning is a little bit weird. Mm-hmm. I worry a little bit about their resale value because they're very expensive for what they are. And they're just a little too big for their britches, I think. They're good vehicles. There's nothing wrong with them. And now they have the new Hurricane inline six-cylinder engines, which is cool. But they're a little expensive. You want to look for rebates on those.
Yeah. And Jeep is trying to remove the Jeep name from Wagoneer.
Well, and this is another show. And this, you know what? We should talk to Sam Fiorani about this.
Okay.
But Jeep is doing a lot of crazy stuff. They just unloaded their three least expensive vehicles.
Yep.
So they're definitely trying to reposition.
Yeah.
And I think they want to go back to this semi-premium thing. And I think Grand Cherokee is where Jeep wants to be. That's the vehicle they want to sort of center. And I know people want it to be Wrangler, but I think Grand Cherokee, which sells an equal volume and is a little bit more of a family-friendly vehicle.
Right. And still relatively capable.
Oh, yeah. Seriously capable.
Yeah.
So, all right. We are now up to compact car.
Okay. And we went up, but now we're going back.
Yeah, we did cars second just because of the interest is in crossovers these days.
Okay.
Honda Civic.
Okay.
Nissan Versa.
Okay.
Toyota Corolla.
You know, the surprising vehicle in that list, like Corolla, Civic, given.
Yeah.
The Versa. I mean, but I remember when the first time I drove, similar to the Nissan Kicks, the first time I drove the Versa, I was like, holy S-H-I-T, like, this is amazing.
Plus, there's another thing that you can add an exclamation point after, and that's 18 grand.
Yeah.
It's a bargain.
Yeah, it is such a bargain.
We used to have a subcompact car class, but there's not enough cars left. But that Versa used to be in that.
Yeah.
The Civic is as good as the Civic has ever been.
Mm-hmm.
It's fantastic. The Corolla, people forget this about the Corolla. Now, there's still a hatchback and a sedan.
Mm-hmm.
There's a hybrid and an all-wheel drive hybrid. There is a lot to like there. If you're looking for a small hybrid all-wheel drive vehicle, your choices are basically the Corolla.
Yeah. No, I mean, Toyota has been doing a really interesting thing with its lineup in that they've been hybridizing every vehicle.
Everything?
Everything. I think the only thing right now that doesn't have a hybrid, and correct me if I'm wrong, is the 4Runner.
Yeah. And it will.
Yep.
Yeah. When's that due?
I don't think we know. Oh,
I thought we do. Okay.
I think it's going to be this year, but Toyota hasn't said.
Yeah, so there you go. Civic, Versa, and Corolla compact car Best Buy picks. Versa is an extreme value. Mm-hmm. The Civic is almost a luxury car. What a nice car if you get a top trim level mm-hmm. and fun to drive. Corolla, extremely versatile, very well screwed together, available as a hybrid and all-wheel drive. Premium compact car, kind of an obvious choice here, kind of an obvious pair, the Acura Integra, mm-hmm. which is a gussied up Civic.
With an available manual transmission, yeah, I'm going to point out.
Gussied up in a good way.
Yeah.
And it starts at 32 grand, which is kind of where Civic leads off. So mm-hmm. Why not?
Yeah.
The Genesis G70. What a nice car.
Yes. It's been a few years since I've driven the G70, but I thoroughly remember enjoying it.
Yeah. And just it's sporty. And its target is clearly what we used. I don't know that this is the target in the industry anymore, but it used to always be the 3 Series BMW.
Yeah.
It was just the sporty mm-hmm. small sedan to target. And I think this vehicle is still on that track. This is still what it's doing. A couple of problems with the GV70. It's kind of cramped.
Okay.
Not as cramped as the Lexus IS, which is in this segment, but it's just too small.
I was going to say, I seem to recall it being very roomy, but you and
yeah,
I have
I bet you would.
Very different size shapes.
I bet you would.
You are tall and not me.
I am not you. Mid-size car. This is a good list.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Honda Accord.
Okay.
Absolute goodness. The
yep.
Toyota Camry.
Again, no surprise with either
of
those
which
two.
Which is still available with a V6. The Subaru Outback, which I drove here today.
You did.
And the Toyota Crown, answering your question about that.
Okay. So we've got to talk about why you put the Outback in this category.
Because the Outback, though it probably is cross-shopped with crossovers mm-hmm. and in Subaru showrooms, probably cross-shopped against the Forester.
Right.
Right? I mean, one's higher, one's lower. But in essence, the Outback is really a legacy wagon.
Okay.
Little ride height, some rough rack action going on, and some stuff that looks like bodyside cladding. It's an incredibly good car. I don't know if it's a crossover. Also, I don't care. If you want one and you want good snow stuff, you're in good hands.
Okay. But do you think the fact that you include it in the car category could turn people off?
I don't know. Sue me. I don't know.
Really? Do you want to say those words
no,
on air?
No, I don't. I don't think Subaru cares, actually.
Well, fair.
Because their lineup is basically all crossover now. You do have the Impreza and you do have the Legacy.
Right.
Neither of which sells especially well. So, because the Impreza obviously is the same as the Crosstrek, and the Legacy, although it is a sedan, is basically right. the same as the Outback.
Right.
It's all good. They're all good stuff.
Right.
Also, I would own an Outback. How's that?
Okay. That's fair. I would own an Outback. Right. But the Crown, so...
Whatever that is.
Why? So you put it in mid-size.
Yeah.
But it replaces...
Avalon.
And I put this in air quotes, replaces, because Toyota would probably say it doesn't replace it, the Avalon, which was, a large car. So why are you putting this in the mid-size?
Because we discontinued the large car category primarily.
Right, right.
Because there are no other large non-premium cars anymore. And this works in this category. And I think that Toyota doesn't want to admit this, but they have addressed the needs of an aging population with this vehicle. It's easier to get in and out of than an Avalon was. Also, it's a little sportier, right?
You
got a little more power. The V6 is gone. I'm not going to lament this anymore. But
you are going to lament it. You are going to continue
Avalon
to lament it.
Avalon did have a great V6.
Yeah.
But,
did you ever have the chance to drive the Avalon TRD?
I want one so bad.
It was so cool.
It's like the dumbest thing Toyota ever built.
It really
I
was.
Want it so bad.
But it was so cool.
For people who don't know, it was a Toyota Avalon.
Yeah.
With like the go fast stuff.
Yeah.
And mostly there was the engine wasn't touched. The transmission wasn't touched, but you got weird lower body cladding. You got a
yeah.
huge rear deck wing.
Some interesting, I feel like they did something to the tuning so that it sounded a little bit sportier.
Oh, did they port noise into the,
I think they did.
I think they ported noise into the cabin. Yeah. Which is a weird thing. Ford does that with the Mustang.
Yeah. But I was like, who, because like this is for a generation of a certain age and.
The audience for that is me.
Yeah.
There may have been no one else.
Yeah. Party of one. But I thought that was a great car.
Oh, so cool.
Yeah.
And you can you still get a Camry TRD? I don't know.
I knew you could a couple years ago.
It seems less silly on the Camry.
It does.
All right. Premium midsize car. Acura TLX.
Mm-hmm.
Cadillac CT5. Lexus ES. And all of these hit a nice, interesting price point.
Okay.
In this category. Because if you were to move up to German cars, you'd be talking about huge amounts of money.
Right.
But the Acura TLX comes in relatively affordably. The Cadillac CTS comes in at CT5, I'm sorry, comes in around 40 grand. It is surprisingly affordable for the segment.
Okay. So you know what? It occurs to me, and I'm doing 20 different things today, but did you give like a backstory of what the Best Buys are and what the premise is?
A little bit. We've been doing them since 1970.
Yeah, but like what is a Best Buy? How do you select these vehicles?
You're asking me this right now?
Yeah, I am.
Right before the ES?
Yeah.
Because I have to mark the ES because I want to talk about the ES.
Okay. Well, okay. Talk about the ES, then answer the question. How's
that?
All right.
Let's talk about the ES first. The ES is an interesting car because it is not fun to drive. And it is functionally.
It's a horrible car, but we love it.
No, it is not horrible at all. It is basically what you can do now instead of an Avalon.
Okay.
But it is incredibly refined. It
okay.
still has that V6 engine if mm-hmm. you want it. It also has a 2.5-liter hybrid, so you can go that way too. But that's also available with all-wheel drive. But you are not going to find a car that makes a sedan that makes better use of space, rides better, is quieter for the money than the ES.
Okay.
It is the best Lexus at doing what it's supposed to do.
Okay.
And actually, that answers the question, I think, about what a Best Buy is, doing what it's supposed to do. Because we break this up into 17 categories.
Mm-hmm.
We're really looking for the vehicles that serve that market best.
So serve that market best, but is there also a price component?
There is. Yes, which is primarily why you don't see too many German cars on here. The Mercedes-Benz E-Classes I've driven recently are very good.
Right.
They're very good. They're also 80 grand.
Yeah.
So... They don't qualify as Best Buys, unfortunately.
Okay.
Great cars.
So, does what they're supposed to do and aren't going to break the bank.
Yes, primarily.
Okay.
Yeah, it just needs to feel like the right car for that class. And then there's all sorts of sort of subjective evaluations, too. Just feels generally good.
Okay.
The Outback I'm driving right now feels great. It feels solid. It's quiet. There's just the driving it a short distance, like it would do so well in a test drive.
Yeah.
Like, if you drove this on a test drive, you'd be like, yeah, I want this.
Well, I remember the first time I ever drove an Outback, I got behind the wheel, and I was just comfortable. Like, a lot of vehicles that we drive, and we drive, you know, I would say 52 to 100 in a year, like, you'll get behind the wheel, and you're like, where's the blinker? How does this work? Where's the control for this? And how do I adjust the seats? But with the Outback, like, you get behind the wheel, and you're just like, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the Lexus
mm-hmm.
ES, so we're moving on to premium large car. Why don't we take a break, and we'll do the rest of the list.
Okay.
All right.
Questions or comments?
Drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.
That's carstuff@consumerguide.com. Welcome back to the Car Stuff Podcast.
All right, we're back. I'm Tom Appel. She's Jill Simonillo. And we are finishing up the list of 2024 Consumer Guide Best Buys.
Finishing up the list.
Yeah.
Yep.
We have like 12 minutes.
We can do that.
All right.
I'll cut back my commentary.
I finished talking about how much I love the Lexus ES.
You did, because you really wanted to get to that.
Because I'm old.
Well.
Because I'm old, and getting in and out of cars, not the easiest thing in the world. And that car's perfect.
Okay.
That is the absolute perfect aging American car. And it's so nice.
That's such a high selling point. It's a great aging American car.
Because Lexus can't say it. You can't sell a young man an old man's car. So you never say this stuff.
No. So you're not helping Lexus.
I might be.
Hmm.
All the 63-year-olds listening now.
Yeah, but they're trying to target younger.
All right. Premium large car.
Okay.
And this gets to exactly your point about why we don't have a lot of German cars on this list.
Okay.
And that's because the S-Class from Mercedes, the 7 Series from BMW, and the Audi A8 are very expensive.
Yeah.
And with stuff, you're out the door like 130, 140 grand. But the Genesis G90 and the Lexus LS,
yeah,
available for much less money.
Yeah.
And spectacular.
The Genesis G90 is... one of my favorite vehicles.
Yeah, it's spectacular. Beautiful interior,
mm-hmm.
great sound system,
mm-hmm.
good use of space. Some
mm-hmm.
interesting technology. Their e-supercharger
mm-hmm.
is an electrically driven supercharger augmented by a 48 volts mild hybrid system.
Okay.
A lot of power.
Yeah.
And I can't believe that all that stuff is happening. He's supercharging 48 volt. A lot of 48 volt mild hybrid vehicles, not that smooth.
Mm-hmm.
This one's smooth. Mm. Also, the Lexus LS didn't hit our list for a long time. This is Lexus's full-size sedan.
Yep.
And for some reason, when they redesigned this a lot of years ago, it didn't ride great. I don't know what the deal was, but there was a mild update of the vehicle, and the ride and handling now are great. But comparing the two vehicles, the Lexus is far sportier than the Genesis. It's also cramped. If you're looking for a downsize, it's not that roomy, front or back. It's okay for tallish people, but it seems narrow. The console is very wide.
I was going to say, the back seat seems to have luxury-like
The back
leg
seat's
room.
Good. The back seat's good. And on the highway, it feels very precise. It feels very German.
Okay.
Good car.
So the Lexus feels German without the German price tag.
Kind of.
Okay.
Also, there's a nice, comparing the two vehicles inside, the Lexus and the Genesis is over-the-top Bentley-like.
Okay,
And the Lexus is very staid, like very high-quality materials, looks very well-built, but it's a little subdued.
Got it.
And very sophisticated.
Okay.
I think in a kind of cautious way.
Okay.
Nice car.
Yeah. It's been a while since I've seen the LS, but I've been in the G90 more recently, and
yeah.
It's
good
nice.
Stuff. Sporty performance car. This one's kind of easy.
Okay.
Miata.
Yeah.
That's Mazda MX-5 Miata and Ford Mustang.
Both great cars.
Because they're kind of what's left.
Yeah.
And they're kind of what's left at the extreme sides of that segment.
Right.
Because the Miata is such a wonderfully fundamental vehicle.
Yeah.
That I don't fit in.
You don't fit in. Because you would also have the Nissan Z in that segment.
You could. Yeah, gets not as much power as the Mustang, not as much. Here's another bonus thing about the Mustang. It's kind of functional.
Yeah.
It has a trunk, and it has a rear seat into which you could put adults. They wouldn't be happy with you for doing it.
You could put me back there. I don't know that you could put a normal-sized adult back there comfortably.
Normal adults.
I did shove my dad back in the back of a Camaro once. He wasn't happy with me.
The Camaro, which I loved driving, by the way, there was nothing wrong with the Camaro except that it was really hard to see out of.
Mm-hmm.
The back seat was useless, and the trunk was kind of tiny.
Which is why my dad was not happy with
me. Yeah, just the Mustang was more practical.
Yeah.
So, all right, we're getting close to done here, Joe.
Okay.
Minivans.
Yep. They still make those.
Yeah. Do you know which minivan we chose?
I'm gonna guess Party of One, and I'm gonna say Chrysler.
Yeah.
Because frankly, it's the only vehicle they make right now, but it is weird, but it's a good one.
It is good. The Pacifica, my buddy Bob just bought a Pacifica. He's very happy with it. The thing about Pacifica is it's really a luxury car now.
Yeah.
And the prices reflect that.
Yeah.
There is the Voyager. Mm-hmm. No, Voyager. Yeah.
The fleet.
Which is fleet only. And sometimes it's not fleet only. You'll find them used.
Okay.
They're out there used. And they have more conventional interiors and more attractive base pricing. But the Chrysler, you can't beat it for quietness, for highway ride quality, or just highway comfort.
Okay.
But everything else in this vehicle, this class is good, right? The Carnival is like this delightfully styled, wacky kind of.
It looks like an minivan. SUV, but it has sliding doors.
Yeah. It also has a V6, which is nice.
Yeah.
And the Sienna, hybrid only.
Yeah.
And available with all-wheel drive.
Okay.
So that's cool. The Chrysler is available with all-wheel drive, too.
Yeah.
We didn't talk about the Chrysler hybrid.
Plug-in hybrid.
The thing about that is it qualifies for the full tax credit right now.
Okay.
So basically all the money you pay to get into the plug-in hybrid is offset by the federal tax credit.
All right.
Just a thing to think about.
That is good to know. But so the you mentioned the other minivans, but the Pacifica is the only one on the list.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I think that people owe it to themselves to shop them all.
Okay.
And the Honda Odyssey's still here.
Yeah.
Best handling vehicle in the class, nice V6.
Oldest.
It is old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the oldest one in the class.
And nothing's coming next year, it seems. So it's going to be a while so we see that updated. Ready?
I'm ready.
Small, mid-sized pickup truck.
Okay.
One on the list right now. Because we haven't seen a lot of stuff.
Okay.
So the Ford Maverick is here because you really can't beat it for.
But you're calling Maverick midsize?
Small midsize.
All right.
So you see, I've got the hyphen or the.
All right. Yeah. So you're combining two classes into one.
I am. And right now, this list is half baked because we don't have everything we need to drive. I have not driven the Tacoma.
Okay.
We haven't had one through the Consumer Guide office. And the new GMs which we redesigned last year.
Right. They've been slow to push those out as well through
they
the
have
heat.
Been. Yeah. They have been. We haven't seen those here. So we're hedging our bets right now.
Okay. But Santa Cruz, you're not putting Santa Cruz in there.
No. And I almost don't think of Santa Cruz as a pickup truck, though it has a pickup bed. I think of it more of a crossover. Very nice vehicle. Nothing wrong with it. But the bed isn't super useful. It's very short.
So is the Maverick bed.
The Maverick bed is, but it's a little bit more cubic.
Mm.
Yeah.
Mm.
Also, the Maverick's a lot more affordable than the Santa Cruz.
That is fair, but if you add options to the Maverick, like there's some weird things with the Maverick where you can't get heated seats in the base trim, and there's like some weird things that are going on with that.
Now that they're finally selling the Maverick in some volume,
uh-huh.
because they just basically didn't build any during the COVID slowdown,
right?
They've also raised the price almost $5,000.
Oh yeah,
the Maverick got much more expensive.
It was supposed to be $19,000. You know, yep. under 20, that is not true anymore.
Now it's under 25.
Yeah, and the hybrid is more expensive than the gas model.
Which they were parity for a while.
Uh-huh.
And then before that, I think one was...
The hybrid was less.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. So I think you need to relook at your pricing, because I don't think that the Santa Cruz is that much more expensive than the Maverick anymore.
Santa Cruz is a good vehicle.
That's my vehicle.
You are free to endorse it during this conversation.
But it's my vehicle that I drive during the Rebel Rally, or have driven for the past 2 years in the Rebel Rally. And you want to talk about it, that bed is very, very functional. I'm just going to put that out there. Recovery gear, tents.
Just because you fit in the bed doesn't mean make it large.
But I'm just saying it is pretty functional.
Yeah.
It's more functional than you think it is.
And
I like the tonneau cover, the retractable tonneau cover, the hard cover.
Yep.
Not that it keeps any sand out. It does not, but but it does keep the water out.
No, I actually like the Santa Cruz.
Yeah, but it's not on the list.
Not on the list.
Nor is the, so the other vehicles that you would see here, the Honda Ridgeline is technically midsize.
And historically, the Ridgeline has made this list.
Okay, so not on the list.
No.
Why?
Simply because the class is so up in the air right now.
Okay.
I'm waiting to learn more about. I didn't want to commit to anything but the smallest vehicle and most affordable vehicle right now. And I love the Maverick. I mean, it deserves to be on this list. But the other vehicles, there's so much competition right now that we have not seen at Consumer Guide.
Okay. So, the Colorado, the Canyon, the Ranger, the Tacoma.
Oh, Ranger, right.
And then the Ridgeline.
Yeah. It's just a mess.
Okay.
It's messy.
It is. And the Frontier. The Frontier is also midsize, but the Frontier is the oldest one on the list. Ranger and Tacoma are new for 2024, and I haven't seen the Ranger yet.
How is Frontier the oldest? It's like 2 years old.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
I want to say it was like 2021,
maybe? I guess Ridgeline's the oldest on the list.
Yeah, that's fair. Mm. Yeah, that's probably fair.
Yeah.
Ridgeline and Frontier. And then, you know, you had the Colorado Canyon redesign, and then Ranger and Tacoma are coming this year.
Yep.
Yep.
All right, large pickup truck, and then we're done.
All right.
Ram 1500.
You know what?
Even though it's being redesigned.
Yeah, for 2025.
As we speak, it's being redesigned.
I'm going to be driving that next week.
Yep.
That's why I'm in Austin, Texas, where I'll be Zooming from it next week. But no, the Ram 1500, last redesigned in 2019. So it's currently one of the it's currently the oldest full-size pickup truck out there, because they did away with the Nissan Titan. And it is really surprisingly good reliability lately. And
it's interesting to me that Stellantis, which doesn't do especially well on reliability stuff, but the Ram, they know their audience. They know who they have to cater to.
Yeah.
Ram is surprisingly reliable. Also, the Ram Classic goes away.
Yeah. Okay.
The weird-ass previous generation Ram that they were selling secretly at dealerships.
Yeah.
Like, I can't afford, $1,100 a month. Oh, well, let us show you this.
Yeah, let us show you this
classic. Brand new used car.
Yes, brand new used car. but no, and Consumer Reports ranks that as the highest full-size pickup truck you can buy as well.
It is difficult. Now, at Consumer Guide, we don't do truck testing.
Right.
We don't tow. We don't do heavy loads.
Right, right.
I will throw a water heater in the back of one, but that's not much of a test. For vehicles as capable as these are.
Right.
But if you are driving a Ram 1500 every day, you're a very happy person.
Yeah.
The ride and handling are fantastic. The
interior is nice.
The Hemi V8, which is going away.
Yeah.
Very strong, very smooth. You do have to use mid-grade.
Yeah.
You're supposed to use mid-grade.
Right.
I'm sure nothing terrible happens if you don't, but you lose some horsepower.
Right.
But nice vehicle, and obviously bulletproof resale value.
Yeah.
So that's the way to go.
Yeah.
We have finished.
And we still have like 2 minutes left.
Do you want your bonus question?
Clearly. So no quiz today.
No quiz.
But just a bonus question. You said you were giving me a bonus question. I did not stall long enough.
No, you didn't.
All right.
Wrap up here in a moment, but are you ready for your bonus question?
I'm ready for my bonus question.
All right. This on Best Buy Day.
All right.
So this totally relates. Are
BBD.
You ready? 83 million.
Okay.
83 million is the population of what country? Are you ready?
Okay.
France.
Uh-huh.
Paraguay.
Uh-huh.
Nigeria. Germany. 83 million.
I have no clue.
Portland. No.
Just because I like the way it sounds, Paraguay.
Yeah, Paraguay's just 7 million.
Okay.
Guess again?
I'm like, just because I like the way that Paraguay.
Tiny little landlocked country just south of Brazil, Paraguay.
Yeah,
tiny.
Paraguay.
Yeah.
There's
a Mark Knopfler song called Postcards from Paraguay. It's awesome.
Okay, so Germany, France, and what else?
Nigeria.
Nigeria.
Nigeria, almost as populous as the U.S., 213 million.
Huh.
All right, France or Germany?
France.
No. This wasn't your week.
This was not my week.
And it wasn't. It was Best Buy week.
It was, so therefore it makes sense. Germany then. Germany is the one with 83 million.
If people want to see a complete list of the Consumer Guide Best Buys, just go to consumerguide.com. It's right there up on the search bar.
Awesome.
Jill, thank you for chatting about these today.
Oh, absolutely.
And we will. And next week, we have punchki, but you're not having one.
No. You can eat all the punchki for me.
All right. This is the Consumer Guide Car Stuff Podcast. Big thanks to Randy and the good folks here at TalkZone. Thank you, Jill. And let's talk more about cars again.
Next week.
Remember to check us out at consumerguide.com.
The Car Stuff Podcast is produced by J-Turn Media.
To advertise on the show, please drop us a line at carstuff@consumerguide.com.